Welcome to New Human Living Radio Show, bringing you powerful interviews to awaken the power in you. Learn more at newhumanliving.com. And now your host, Les Jensen.
So if you were to imagine all the movies, all the television, all the shows that you've seen, how many portray the feminine, a woman, completely and totally in her truth, in her authenticity? Now, we can muddle that a bit and say, well, it's already happening. And, I think there's a lot of ground to cover metaphorically for the feminine, completely in the feminine's truth, completely in the feminine's truth, to be able to be valued by our like mainstream culture. We've had many shows about the reawakening of the feminine, about the healing of the feminine, about the pretty much all aspects about the feminine. And we've kind of overdosed on the masculine end of things, and there's some very unhealthy masculine floating around. But by far, one of the most powerful things in my eyes, one of the most powerful things to happen in our culture will be, the reconstitution, the reassembling. I mean, those are not quite what I'm looking for, but to not only heal the feminine, but move it to its rightful place, front and center, next to masculine, and both healthy masculine and healthy feminine. It's like I said, we kind of overdose on the masculine, and it can be a daunting task. It can be an intimidating task to step forward in a feminine context and be seen just for that. And it comes from the inside out. It's not going to come to us from the outside in. Both the masculine and the feminine, in their authentic traits, it's always an inside job. The external world is just a reflection of our internal selves. So I'm totally stoked for our show tonight. The topic is helping women spiritual entrepreneurs step into greatness. And our guest tonight is Karen Gruber. We're going to bring her on in just a minute. But hey, listen up. We're on the Blog Talk Radio platform right now. For the last about 15 years, we've been broadcasting on the Blog Talk Radio platform. So listen, the Blog Talk Radio platform is closing its doors early next year. So with over 500 episodes in Blog Talk Radio's archives, we don't have archives of our own, there's a possibility that we might lose some shows in the process. So if you have favorite shows in the archives, or favorite guests, we've had some guests on many times, you can, typically internet search will pull them up. Use the guest name and use Blog Talk Radio, New Human Living, and the search engine will find them for you. But you can go to any episode, including this one, and just download it. Download the whole audio file, and hell, you might as well do that anyway and put them on your phone or whatever and listen to them throughout the day. But the podcast itself is not going away, but we have to move to another platform. And we'll probably get started with that before the bell dings. I don't want to miss any episodes. So that's just a heads up for you, the listener, that we're being pushed to another platform. We haven't decided which one we're going to yet, but the show must go on. And it's a sheer delight for me to have the show go on. Maybe down the road we'll have 30 years of podcasts or whatever, or even more. It's a very passionate thing for me to have this podcast and bring to you, the listener, great shows to help you discover that really, really, if you're listening to this, you're a vast, multidimensional being having a human experience. And when you heal your relationship with pretty much yourself, when you heal your relationship with love of yourself, well, then damn, the whole damn rodeo changes and your life expands over and over without end. Love is a very curious thing. The more you spend it, the more of it you have to spend. What a fantastic design, wouldn't you think? I think we should get to it because time has a way of slipping by. Again, tonight our topic is helping women spiritual entrepreneurs step into greatness, and our guest is Karen Gruber. Karen, a visionary international business coach and number one best-selling award-winning author, is the creator of the Spiritual Client Code. Since 2005, Karen has been the guiding force of empowering spiritual business women to step into the limelight with confidence and clarity. I think we should get right to it. Join me in welcoming Karen to the show. Karen, it's nice to have you on the show. Welcome.
Hi, Les. Thank you so much for having me. I want to first off congratulate you on 15 years of shows. That is truly remarkable.
I actually had two podcasts before this one, so it's probably longer than that. But
wow. Well, it's just terrific, and I really am so grateful that you have such an impactful platform so that people like me can come on and share with your audience. I'm just so thrilled and honored to be here tonight.
Well, I'm delighted to have you, and I always love the topic of supporting women to be authentic women, not a copycat of a masculine attribute, but really, really genuinely heal the feminine attributes that have been ignored, suppressed, whatever, for centuries, perhaps eons of time. So I'm delighted to talk to you tonight about this topic.
Thank you.
Can you give us some background how you came into the role and started helping spiritual entrepreneurs, women, step into their greatness?
Sure. I have been, I like to say, a lifelong learner, but really when I was in high school and college, I didn't appreciate the education I was receiving. but as I matured, I really found that I love to learn and had some really wonderful friends who introduced me to spirituality and the energies of the masculine and the feminine. And for the listeners, I want to start by saying, you know, I think that the men, the patriarchy, has really gotten a bad rap in recent times and is not honored and celebrated for all the contributions. You know, we don't always acknowledge and celebrate all the contributions that the patriarchy has provided for us so that we can live the lives that we are living today, right? And
right.
So I'm not out to abolish or eliminate or degrade the masculine, but really it's time, in my opinion, for the feminine to rise alongside of, right? And to have equal time and celebrations and acknowledgement, because there's so much awesomeness in the masculine and the feminine. And so I'm really encouraging, you know, my ladies to learn to do business in a different way, in a way where they don't have to artificially be over masculine to achieve, and to do business in a way that feels really good to them, right? Because when we're in flow and when we're in creative spaces and being creative and bringing forth ideas and services and helping people, that's where we where we really thrive. And when we're thriving, our families thrive, our neighbors thrive, our communities thrive, and learning how to do business in a blend, so to speak, is such a powerful thing. And that's what I have been called to do. And I will admit I ignored the calling for a long time. It seemed really big. It seemed really scary. and like my own clients, like, who am I to do this? Right. And,
right.
Only when I healed a lot of my own stuff, which is a never ending process and always ongoing as the layers get peeled back, did I really claim it and step into it and was able to begin to make a difference?
Well, I mean, well, then your story relates directly to women in the audience that can, they have a sense of a calling and they have a sense of purpose. They might have even a vision of what it looks like, but they're just apprehensive to step forward.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, share with us, I mean, how did that look like over time? How did you propagate time and not engage? And what were some of the internal dialogue and whatnot that kept you, you know, from stepping into your role?
Yeah. Well, make no mistake, I was very much hooked into my internal dialogue at first.
Sure.
And not the internal dialogue that I've been able to cultivate today. It was very negative, very derogatory, and I'm sure you've all heard, like, we say and treat ourselves the way we would never in a million years dream of treating a friend or saying things to a friend that we say to ourselves and then believe. And so I would encourage, you've asked a very big question, so I'll try to be precise. if you feel a calling to be doing something different than you currently are, so let's say you're in a job that is bringing in money for the family, but it's not maybe particularly enjoyable or it doesn't light you up, then, and you're being called to do something differently, I would totally encourage you to date this calling. Like, what does this mean for you? And how do you want to express this calling? And how do you want to bring this calling forward? Is it a business? Is it not a business? Is it, you know, something that you do in your free time? And really just take the time to ask questions about it and to experiment with it. before you go and quit your job and then is like in a panic mode, right? So the universe is waiting for you and you have time and the clock is ticking. Like the recurring theme in all my classes that I've been doing recently and the women that I'm working with is like, it's go time. 2025 is going to be hugely, it's go time. There's no more dragging our feet. There's no more wondering, am I in the right field? Am I doing the right thing? What am I here for? It's like, it's go time. We have got to show up. We have got to serve the people that we are meant to serve and to help. And it's our job to figure out and to trust that it's going to happen. And we do that by taking inspired action and listening to the callings that we're receiving.
So when you, I mean, we talked a little bit before the show started about what are the common things you see in your clients that keep them from from stepping forward. You talked about fear, and just share some of the common attributes that you see keeping women from really stepping forward. I mean, what are some of the two or three common attributes that women struggle with?
Okay. The big ones, I would say less, and I invite, if you're listening, to see if this shows up in your world, you doubt that you really have a calling. Like, really? Who am I to have this calling or this mission or this idea or this pull, right? Because it looks different and feels different for everybody. So who am I to do this ultimately? The fear, which I had big time, was like, really? Like, what? People are going to think I'm really weird, or they're going to think what I have to say is stupid or irrelevant, or they're not going to pay me for this service if I wanted to turn it into a business. I mean, the fears are huge. And then the other big one is the worthiness that shows up in really strange ways. Am I worthy or I'm not worthy, this belief? I'm not worthy of making a living this way. I'm not worthy to serve in this way. It can show up in many different dialogues that we have inside of our head, but it relates back to worthiness. And then what happens is you find that, let's say you do start your business, all of a sudden all you're doing is free work. You're not charging for your services because you don't feel worthy. And that obviously, as you know less, is not sustainable. We need to make a living. We need to earn money. We need to be able to replace the income that we're currently getting. And then perhaps we want to take it even further than that. We want to build wealth so that we can give back in the ways that we want to give back by being able to give some free services, by donating money to causes that are important to us, right?
Right.
So those are probably the three biggest ones that are, you know, they show up in many different forms, but at the heart of it, it's those three things.
So when you have the impulse or calling, so to speak, to step forward, and yet these three attributes can be a very challenging thing. Mm-hmm. How do you break the ice? How do you transmute your experience with yourself, really? I mean,
yeah.
all the hindrance is an inside job. The universe itself is not really biased.
Right.
What are some ways to punch through that hesitancy?
Well, you touched on two of the big ones in your opening, and that was the idea of love, and we are love, we give love, we receive love, and we are love. And when I first start working with a client, the first thing that we do, create the vision. Like, what is the big vision for your business? And in what way, not like the logistical how, but in what ways do you want to impact people's lives? How are they going to change as a result of working with you? And I literally, Les, have my vision for my own business and my own life posted right next to my desk on my left-hand side here. And I look at it every day. And that vision keeps me so connected to the importance of the work that I am doing that it helps. I can't be connected to my vision and be fearful. Right? I am so connected to my vision that, you know, making the enrollment sales, having the conversations, shooting the videos, whatever it is that I'm fearful about or worry about or am concerned about, when I'm connected to my vision, that other stuff just, it's so much bigger than that, that I can't help but shoot that video. I can't help but make that ask, right?
Right. Well, if you think about engaging a new path, a new journey, a lot of times we wanna see the whole damn map. We wanna see, and in truth, I mean, in a way, I think it's designed really marvelously in that. If I listen to my heart and my soul, I operate in a non-linear intelligence, a non-linear wisdom within my life. And one of the toughest things for me was I wanted that linear idea of how it would unfold, but you know when you have your GPS going and you miss an exit and the GPS says recalculating because it's got to figure out a new path. Well, the whole damn rodeo. I mean, all of creation is recalculating all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, so you could have. In the first moment you had, this is metaphorical, in the first moment you had that impulse, you could have stepped right into it.
Mm-hmm.
You could have stepped right into it years ago and followed your intuition and inspiration right off the top, and you'd be a completely different person now.
Yeah.
And likewise, I can say that for myself. There's I can see that I've been, in some aspects of my life, I've been dragging my feet. But the universe sits there and recalculates, saying, are you ready to start now? Are you ready to start now? Are you ready to start now? Forever.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really, we're never stuck. We've never really missed opportunity because we're creators, and creators don't need the world to be a particular way because we're creating from scratch, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you think about your life, I mean, I like to do a kind of a before and after question. So imagine I'm making this up. You're a year or so into this impulse, into this idea in your psyche, and it's rattling around in your head, and you're kind of poking it with a stick, and you're not quite sure what the hell is going to happen if I actually do this. And then you flip the coin over to who you are today. Describe the before and the after as far as how you experience your life.
Yes. Well,
if you were thinking we're going to have simple questions here, I forgot to warn you.
Yeah, I love it. Yes. So I think when I was, you know, let's say in my late teens, early 20s, I was convinced because my whole life I had been told this is how my life was going to be, that I would get married and have children and, you know, my husband would be making all the money. And I mean, I remember I wanted to invest in a townhome, and my mother, God bless her, had the viewpoint that I did not want to be saddled with a townhouse in the event that when my husband-to-be came along, you know, I don't even remember the reasoning, but it was like I didn't want to be saddled with that. And to me today, that just blows my mind in a not-so-positive way. But
right.
that was like the messages that I grew up with, right? And that was the expectation. Now, for myself, I wanted very much to please my parents, and so I tried to follow that path. And I love being married, and I love being a mom. And I knew there was something more for me. And that came about through this calling. And I have never been happier. It's not like my life is perfect. It's not in any way, shape, or form. But I am happier. And I am more at peace. And I am more fulfilled than I have ever been getting to help people in the way that I help them than I ever would have been in the, you know, going down and sticking to the prescribed path for me. Does that make sense?
Sure. Oh yeah. I call it the white picket fence, you know.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
just follow the societal guidelines and you'll be okay, which of course is
yes.
a farce since the
yes.
flipping cart tipped over, but
yeah.
I mean, if you think about your life now, I mean, like, for me, the more I step into it, the bigger the vision gets.
Yes. Yes. And to your point about, like, the planning, does even my business look like what I thought it was going to look like? Absolutely not. It looks completely different. It is beyond any expectations that I could have come up with for myself. And the rewards are so much richer, not just money, but in relationships. I mean, my clients are my friends. I mean, I love these people. And I know that if I were in trouble and needed help, that I could call any one of them and they would have my back. And I hope that they feel the same way about me, right? And
right.
How I got here did not look at all like what I planned, so to speak.
Right.
I think it's important that we have goals and we take inspired actions. You know, we're not just going to sit around and just wait for it to fall in our laps. But being open to the inevitable, that it's going to look way different than you ever thought it was going to look. And it's, you're going to have experiences and opportunities that you could never imagine you were going to have. And like, if, for instance, if I had never planned that I was going to have the opportunity to talk to Les on a blog talk show on a Wednesday night at 7 p.m. my time, and have this delightful conversation with deep questions and get to share. I couldn't have planned that, you know?
Sure.
But it's recognizing the opportunities and then following through with them.
Well, you know, I'm no proctologist, but if I stare at it long enough, I would think that the divine feminine or the healthy feminine or the healed feminine, I mean, I think part of what makes feminine attributes shunned perhaps is that it's typically a nonlinear thing. For example, when I think of the feminine, or it's the infinite potential that has not been realized. So, I mean,
yeah,
like a prayer is said, you know, damn it, God, this earth is just a karmic tsunami. What the hell? What the hell? What can I do with my life, my persona, to be a bigger vessel of compassion for humanity? So that's a prayer. It's a prayer. And then the divine feminine reaches into the abyss, reaches into infinity, reaches into the unknown. And I think that unknowingness is what makes it hard to give it a metric, and why people don't understand how to interpret it. But the divine feminine goes into the infinite field of potential and draws in a dream, and we bring it into our heart, and then the masculine takes it from the heart and fulfills it into expression, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. Totally. And it is, like we were talking about it in the beginning, is it's really this harmonious relationship and intertwining of the two. It's not one or the other. It's both. And I think I'm going to call, to put a label on it, like extreme feminism, which, you know, gets all the attention, and I'm being a little dramatic there, but it's like down with the patriarchy and I can't stand that. I mean, it is not one over the other. It is both. And I loved your reference to the healed feminine, right? Because the feminine can be very snarky and jealous, and, you know, and that is the wounded feminine, as the wounded male masculine also has very unpleasant traits, right? But the healed, that's where the beauty is. That's where the power is of both, right? So that's where my beliefs stand, is the harmonious blend of both.
Well, I like that. But if we were to trust the feminine, trust the unknown, I guess I could say trust the unknown. If we learn to trust that unknown and then lean into it, so to speak, the sense I get is the transformation of whatever is, air quotes, is. Whatever the condition of the earth is, whatever the condition of our culture is, if we trust our healthy and healed masculine feminine, we can write a new script and execute it into fruition in short order, and then turn around and do it again and again and again, and transmute any static residual from the incongruent past that we've had. And so when we think about the feminine, I don't want to, I try to be extremely careful to not put labels or structure to it, because masculine is structure, feminine is extremely powerful without that structure. How do we, I mean, if you were to visualize what that looks like, in other words, the empowered feminine, the perhaps the goddess incarnate, And I guess what I'm looking at here is trust. When we really learn to trust ourselves and then step forward without that linear path before us, but step forward with the intent of our heart and the trust of our mind, perhaps. What would that look like? I mean, if we could pop into a reality where that's the norm,
mm-hmm.
what would be different about our culture than compared to what it is today?
I would say that the biggest shift would be we would all be operating from looking at life from acting from a place of love.
Nice. Very nice.
I mean, I think that's what source energy is just love, period.
Sure.
And if we were able to come from that space 100% of the time, which I'm not sure being a human we can, it's certainly something that I strive to do more and more of. Can you imagine what the world would be like if every single human was operating from a place of love?
That's kind of what we're poking a stick at is to put a dream to it, put a glimpse or a vision to it. I mean, if I see women in general on social media or mainstream media, I don't see the I don't see a fully realized woman typically. It's like they've become successful in a masculine context,
mm-hmm.
and so that's what I was playing with as far as what does it look like. I mean, what does it look like if we're going to embody something? It starts with and here's that feminine. I mean, what does mm-hmm. it look like? I'm casting that prayer into the infinite, and then the images come back.
Yeah.
To get back to
it is, I think, with your question is that the feminine looks different on everyone, male or female,
sure.
right? Some embrace the I'm going to say, the stereotypical goddess, the flowing hair and the wavy dresses and the perfect body and all of that. And that is a lovely expression of the feminine. And then I look at I have a daughter who turned 16, and for her birthday just last night, we went to see the Billie Eilish concert, and I didn't know what to expect. I've heard a few of her songs, but I'm not, intimately knowledgeable of her background or her music. And I was blown away by her expression of the feminine. And it was very different than what I just, expressed. So, it looks different on everyone.
Right. Well, love will kick your ass in such a beautiful way if you let go of its hand and let it express. If I am in my heart or in a space of love in my persona,
mm-hmm.
I get these impulses in the moment, like go pet that dog. And I'm walking towards the dog, and then something else happens. Somebody else comes in, and then something else happens, and something else happens. And what I'm getting at is a nonlinear consequence happens.
Mm-hmm.
And love tends to expand. So I don't know. I just I think we need images or visions to to seed our hearts and our soul. I mean, our hearts and our soul on some level understands it already, but yes. Typically when we're in our human body, we have the mind element, and then everything goes south.
Mm-hmm.
But I just try to get glimpses, like clearly when our cultures have healthy feminine, we have a sense of community, we have a sense of family, we have a mm-hmm. sense of safety, we have a sense. And just to bring a vision building block, so to speak, so we can collectively, and maybe it'll happen organic and it won't happen through, per se, our minds, but our minds can resist it if it doesn't understand it. So that's why I try to bring a understanding to the mental context in which we see how we're making our choices, if that makes
yeah.
sense.
Yeah. Well, to put it in like a mental construct or a practicality, right? We could use that word, would be, okay, I need to get quiet and I need to be in stillness in order to listen to what Creator, Source, the universe, God has to tell me, right? And
right.
So I like to think of it as almost like a three-step process, okay? So I'm a human, I'm having this existence, and I want to be love, I want to express love, all these things. So I need to be still, that's step one, and quiet so that I can really hear what is meant for me. And then two, I need to be open to receive these messages, like go pet that dog, right?
Right.
And then the inspired action is I am so filled with love in that moment when I think about petting that dog, I'm going to go pet that dog. Right. And
right.
So it's stillness, receiving, and then the inspired action. And that, I think, is how in a mental construct, in a practical way, we can practice being love and being in that state and being in that higher vibration. And
nice.
And yeah. And like you said, I loved how you said that love is expansive. You better believe it, you know, that me petting that dog brings a smile to the owner's face and makes them feel good. And then maybe the two of you strike up a conversation and now they're in a better mood. So they go home and they're kinder
right.
to their spouse or their children. I mean, yes, love is expansive. I love that you said that.
Well, and I think there's I guess I'd call it the wake of love, when
mm-hmm.
when we engage love, like go pet the dog or whatever, and let whatever needs to happen. There's a wake of love, and that wake is unconditional love has a wake of grace, I would say. But
mm-hmm.
love in and of itself has a very high vibration of joy.
Love that, yes.
And so joy is like a neighbor vibe to love. And sometimes, I mean, life's tough on this planet. I mean, holy crap, it's it can be hard to kind of dig yourself out of the worry and the fret of, I mean,
mm-hmm.
there's talk of World War III going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so how, as we go through our day, how can we transition out of the dogma of the collective? And I would say, look for things of joy. Look for things in your day. And it can be the silliest thing. It can be a AI image on social media of a puppy dog flying a jet fighter or something.
Yeah, I mean 100%, I am with you. It's like looking for the opportunities. I mean, I know for myself, when I am having a rough time of it, I literally have to just remove myself from, you know, my desk, where whatever's happening, and go sit out on my front porch and just watch. Just watch the trees. All of a sudden, the squirrels are coming in. The little bunny rabbits are coming in. Maybe my dog flies through, you know, my field of vision, chasing a squirrel. And that brings me back to love and to joy. I mean, it brings me such joy just to be in nature, even if it's just sitting on my porch, right?
Right.
So I think not only do we have to witness and observe all the miracles and the love and the joy around us, is we have to be very intentional, like you're saying, to remove ourselves from the energy of the collective and literally make ourselves an experience of joy.
that sounds like a spiritual flogging, right?
Yeah, but you know what's better, taking time to do that or swirling in the energy of the collective, which right now is I'm going to say not a very positive thing.
Right. Yeah, it's a very transformational time, and that's why I love having these conversations, like I said in the beginning, to reestablish the feminine on feminine terms.
And
that's so important, on feminine terms, that no matter, I mean, World War III can be a big scar in the collective history of humanity, but I propose that the power of the healed masculine and the power of the healed feminine, there's nothing that the past can leave us that can't be transmuted.
Correct. I agree with you 100%. Yeah. And I believe people like you and like me who have heard our callings and who are responding to them, like our job is to be that love as often as we can. And I think you're alluding to, Les, also that this is a very potent time and a time of huge possibilities and huge opportunities. We just have to choose it.
Yeah. Well, the normal of 2019 has vanished, so we have a void of what the new normal will be. Mm. And that's a huge gift. That's a gigantic gift.
It is a huge gift.
If we were having this conversation in 2019, we wouldn't have a sense of perhaps what's at stake, because we've seen, for me, 2020 was a metaphorical rototiller in the subconscious of the collective that had to be healed if we were to be able to embody heaven on earth.
Yeah.
And so it's a completely different conversation today than had you and I had this show in 2019. I mean, the context of really all of us. I think the human heart is hungry. The collective human heart is hungry for a more authentic, a more sustaining, a more nurturing narrative as the new normal. And it'll be in us, through us, as us that it comes about. And that's why I like to keep the idea of what's that going to look like. If I keep my attention on what is, then I'm kind of wasting my vote, which is my attention. I'm not giving attention to what I want. I'm regurgitating what is.
Right. Yeah. and keeping focused, I love that, on what you do want is vitally important, and rising above the fear.
Right.
Which is not always easy. I mean, I'm not telling you I've got it nailed down, but a lot of my practice is how do I and sustain rising above the fear? Because we can't be in love and be in fear at the same time. It just can't
right.
happen.
Right. Right. Well, if you think of the spiritual journey of an individual, it's never that that well of infinite love within us takes on our ego's attributes of fear and doubt and worry and fret.
Mm-hmm.
That's never the spiritual journey. The spiritual journey is to take our human persona, our human mind, our human karmic stigmas, and heal them and
yep.
energetically move our persona back to source, back to love. And
yeah.
and you're going to bump up against every damn thing in your psyche. It's like heal your relationship with pain, heal your relationship
yeah.
with fear, heal your relationship with your emotions. That's the spiritual journey, I would think.
Yes, yes. I believe this is so fascinating because I've had many conversations about this very same thing over the past couple of weeks. Is really like it's time to focus on the healing so that we can show up as love more frequently.
Right. Well, very nice. Well, an hour can go by pretty fast. I want to make sure.
Ooh, you're not kidding.
I want to make sure the audience knows about you, your platform. Do you work online? Is it all in person? What does your ideal client look like?
Yeah,
tell us the whole scoop.
Okay. So I work with spiritual entrepreneurs, transformational coaches, and healers. Surprise, surprise. And really, primarily these are 99% are women, and they are either thinking about starting a business or they've just started a business and they're like, oh my gosh, now what do I do? I'm not making the income or getting the clients that I thought I would. There's more to this than I thought. I need help. So these are the women that I'm helping. Particularly craft their messaging and their marketing so that they don't have to be on social media 24/7 to have a successful business. But what does that look like for you? And what are your gifts and what are your talents? And how do you talk about your services, products, courses, whatever it is that you are doing in a way where people will actually invest? Right, and they will actually pay you to do the work that you do and receive the gifts that you have. And what I love at first, you know, talking about how we can't know what everything is going to look like, I thought I was going to be all in person. I had this beautiful office for clients to come to. Turns out I have an international audience, so I am really most, other than bringing in some retreats that will be in person, I am online. So I can meet with anyone, anywhere, which I absolutely am so excited about. I have women that I work with from Ireland and Sweden and Spain and Peru and all over the world. It's wonderful. Did that answer your question?
Well, you haven't mentioned your webpage. And
your
spiritual client code, and I mean, keep going.
Okay. So my first, like, entry-level offer that I have to women who are looking to get into business or have just started their business is called the Spiritual Client Code. And what this is it's all about your messaging. and how do you craft your message so that it is a tangible thing that people understand what the heck you do and want to pay you for it. And so that was crafted just this past year, and I'm really excited about it. It's helping you craft your message and watching it resonate and consistently attract clients. And with the Spiritual Client Code, you also gain access to the step-by-step system that has come from my 20 years of insights and successful implementations in the coaching industry. So that is there for you. And my website is Karen Gruber, G-R-U-B-E-R, coaching.com. And there you will find more information about me. You can read lots of articles that I've written. You can see some of the talks that I've given. And I am easily findable.
Very nice. Now, we're metaphorically neighbors in that we both live in the Denver, Colorado area.
Yes.
You mentioned retreats. Are they Colorado retreats, or do you go to other places to host them?
I am going to be doing these starting in Colorado, and then in over the next couple of years, my big vision is to expand them to travel to Africa and hold
nice.
Retreats in Africa.
Very nice.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, do you have any closing thoughts for our audience?
I do. A couple. And one is be kind to yourself. Number one, be kind. Be kind to others. They really need your compassion right now. And if you are thinking about doing a business or have started a business or really are starting to hear the stirrings of this calling or mission or purpose, whatever words you want to put to it, is don't give up. Never give up. You are hearing this, you are feeling this, whatever this is for you, for a reason. And I would just encourage you to never give up.
Well, very nice. Well, Karen, I've very much have enjoyed this episode. I want to thank you for being our guest tonight.
Oh, it's been my pleasure again, Les. Thank you very much for this platform and your audience. And I, too, this has been a lovely, lovely time getting to chat with you and hearing your thoughts as well.
Thanks. We've been talking with Karen Gruber, and tonight's topic has been helping women spiritual entrepreneurs step into greatness. It's impossible, really, for us to exhaust our potential. It just is. Now, wait a minute. What was that sentence? It is impossible to exhaust our potential. Our heart and our soul has a vision for our life our ego can't even comprehend. Our ego cannot comprehend what's possible for our lives. It can't. A linear mind can't wrap its noggin around a multi-dimensional, non-linear intelligence like your heart and your soul. So spend your potential like you stole it, like you won the lotto. Spend love like you stole it, like you won the lotto with love, because it expands as you open up to it. It expands as you say yes to it. And I know it can, you know, you want to crap your pants and you're not really sure that, boy, if I engage this, I don't know what's going to happen. Perfect. I don't know what's going to happen. Perfect. Your heart and your soul, I would say in order for you to have a chance at scratching your potential in this lifetime, your heart and your soul would love to have your ego on board with trust, And that trust, if the ego is holding the steering wheel so damn tight, the heart and the soul can't get it to budge, there's some healing that has to happen. And trust has to be experienced to be trusted more, if that makes sense. I mean, you can dip your little toe in the lake with trust, your little toe in the lake with trust, and you don't know what's going to happen. And then you put a little more of your foot in, and in other words, you trust more. And when you start to heal the relationship between your mind and your heart and soul, then your mind has an opportunity to trust a nonlinear behavior within yourself, a nonlinear strategy. You don't even have a flipping map to where you're going because you can't even comprehend where you're going. That's the exciting stuff. That's the kick your butt fun kind of stuff. I think that is woven into the divine design of the human experience. I love people like Karen who are taking their life purpose and trusting it and stepping into it. So I can ask you, the listener, what's been rattling around in your head? What impulses do you have that makes you kind of not so sure about how it's going to turn out? How can you heal your trust with that? How can you learn to not only give space, like Karen was saying, slow down in the stillness, slow down. If you want your ego to catch up with the vast power of your heart and your soul, if you want your ego to catch up, it's got to slow down, which is not necessarily intuitive. But anyway, time flies when you're having fun. I want to thank you, the audience, the listeners. There's nothing in our human condition that can't be transmuted with love. Fear's not going to fix the problem. Love will. And if you can heal your relationship with love, you become a point of presence of love in the collective. And love is a powerful, powerful thing that far exceeds the notion of fear or worry or doubt. So always a pleasure. Until next time, thanks for listening. This has been a New Human Living broadcast. If you're looking for spiritual resources, there's literally hundreds of podcasts just like this one, free online. You can find them at newhumanliving.com. If you sign up for the newsletter, I write a weekly blog that helps you contemplate the nature of nature, contemplate the nature of your own human genome, contemplate your own human potential. How powerful is that? I can say it's powerful because you are powerful. I want to thank you for joining us in tonight's broadcast. I appreciate you, the listener. Until next time, thanks for listening.
Ever wonder what makes pandas so special? Join us on Amazing Wildlife to find out.
Giant pandas and their habitat are unique and beautiful and extraordinary representation of the natural world. And if you get that opportunity to sit and watch a panda eat bamboo, you will be mesmerized.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Amazing Wildlife and start listening.